November 2nd, 12:02 p.m. Christ, I've had guys pursue me before, but this is some say-anything, moping outside with a boombox over the head tier mopiness. I've pulled the blinds closed, but he's constantly at the door like a dog left out in the cold. I suppose I'm not the greatest. I've just been waiting on the gloom to work its Stygian magic to make him forget whatever he saw. So, I hope. Wetzler's spoken of a few kinds of people sensitive to the gloom and the glimmer. Maybe that's what Chase is. Maybe a cracked man just broke open forever and there's no putting his Humpty Dumpty mind back together again. Back to Halloween night. I found him leaning against an elm tree, one palm on the bark, the other clenching his stomach as he stood doubled over. A fresh pool of puke puddled on his red Captain America shoes. For a moment, I feared that the Blighthawk had infected him, but I couldn't sense the disease anywhere on him. Nope, just a severe case of nerves. To put it mildly, Chase looked up, his eyes wide through his mask. His right hand was pointing at the disease-ridden cat, which had begun to hack up blood. He kept his wide-eyed glare, the gray engine of his brain producing the most logical next question. What the hell are you? I don't know if the Blighthawk was targeting me. I don't know if it was simply out for an easy meal. More likely than not, that was the case, but I couldn't help but feel somewhat at fault, some vague guilt for my condition. And yet, his words, they cut through me, cold as a knife left in the freezer. I'm the one that saved your pathetic ass, I snapped. I'm Veronica fucking Gage, that's who the hell I am. It sounded better in my head, more righteous, self-righteous, because God, can't I be a little self-righteous every now and then? Chase ignored this. He was staring at me. Staring at the parts of me I'd played off, at the parts of me just a few hours prior he'd complimented as the most spectacular costume work he'd ever seen. You didn't want to hide yourself under that costume, he said, his eyes tracing their way over my fur, my claws, my eyes. His eyes were gray in this light, gray eyes the color of lockpicks, and he was finessing every tumbler in place, opening me up. Don't say it, I said, clenching my hand, the clawed one, hard enough to draw blood. God help you, don't finish that sentence. Instead, he said nothing at all. He looked past me. I shook my head. We're safe. I walked him back to his car. He dropped me off, and as I turned in that night, I swore I'd never see him again. Now, as I peer out the peephole and see him slumped against the balcony snoozing, feels like I won't ever go a day without him. I guess I'll let him in. Last night was a long night. Chase couldn't hardly keep his conversation straight. He'd jabber about the Blighthawk one moment, my capabilities the next, then around we would go. Stereotyped speech, I believe it's called. At some point, I caught him staring at my body. It's funny, I'm not used to thinking of it that way. I always had more male attention for other reasons, but now? Ridiculous. No girl ever thinks they're gonna grow up and get ogled because they're a werewolf. But here we are, a werewolf and her DoorDash driver. When did you turn? Chase asked. Turn? Not a fucking doorknob, Chase, I said. Right, no, sorry. Clearly the guy was flabbergasted. I don't blame him, but I felt odd about the entire ordeal. We fell into that familiar, fragile silence, neither of us willing to pummel it to dust with our words. Time stretched out painfully until Chase spoke at last with the deliberateness of someone going through an agonizing breakup.
So what do we do now?
I snorted, slumping down along the kitchen wall. My forearms came to rest on my knees, my hands dangling loose. "I don't know, Chase," I said. "I mean, it's not like we're Bonnie and Clyde or something. We got picked by a rando creep. You're lucky I was there, and that's that." "That is most definitely not that." Both of his hands were cradling his head. "There are werewolves, magical vomiting birds, forces of darkness." "You're hyping this up way too much."
"True."
"Yes, there's all this gee whiz remarkable stuff behind the scenes of normal reality, but you get used to it. At this point, just being able to go and get a hamburger without the aid of a delivery man seems pretty remarkable to me."
"Also true."
"There's not much to worry about." "Now, V, you're slipping into Fibber's territory. Even Chase didn't believe me from the looks of him. They had killed Michael, whoever they were. Horatio Howard had a tie to this shady, hundred-handed organization. Change was in the air. I could feel it. Something big was on its way. Something bad."
"You're right," I said. Before he could sagely pat himself on the back, I interjected.
"There's been increased activity. Night isn't as safe as it used to be."
"What do I do?
Stay away from me, for one?" I hated the words as soon as they left my lips. They clung in my mind, burned in like the light trails of sparklers.
"This area is too secluded."
"But it attacked us in a public park." "And if there's creeps growing that bold, then you definitely don't want to be out here too late." My eyes flicked to the window. "Especially if any of them pick up on my trail."
"And what am I supposed to do for work?"
I squinted at him.
"What?
Most of my deliveries are at night." "Chase, I don't know. I just know that it might be a good idea to get into a diurnal line of work."
I think you're probably right about that, Mrs. Gage."
"Please." I extended my clawed hand at him, grinning.
"Call me V."
November 7th, 1:13 p.m. I don't think I'll be seeing him again anytime soon. Part of me is starting to understand Wexler's whole brooding shtick. This line of work doesn't allow for many relationships outside of it, and I'm technically on vacation. Still, I suppose I'd rather lose Chase's friendship as opposed to his liver down a Blighthawk's mall. I think I'm done with this. It's got me thinking too much, and I'd rather take a break from that. Maybe I'll start working on that novel idea. Something about a low-rate horror writer and his stalker fan, but it's little more than sketchy scratch marks. Still, it's percolating. But I won't be writing in here. No, this journal's already tainted. I'll need to start fresh. For now, I'll wait for the call from Madhouse. Wexler and I will find out who killed Michael, and we'll take care of this so-called 100-handed. One finger at a time, if need be. Still, something isn't sitting right with me. Michael dead, Lily catatonic. Solomon's gonna wake Lily up and we'll find out what happened to them? Pieces aren't adding up, and I'm afraid that when they do, we aren't going to like the resulting picture. I'm tired of writing. Maybe it's because I lost Chase. I can't focus. I'm going to put this away for now. Maybe I'll come back to it later. January 5th. I guess I lied. I didn't have much more to say. Chase hasn't come back and I haven't tried to find him. Ships passing in the night, I guess. I doubt I'll ever see him again. Some part of me hopes that I don't, for his sake. Wexler called. It's time to go back. Time to see what happened to Lily and Michael that fateful day. There's a chill in the air. I've been having bad dreams since my last entry. Nothing prophetic. No dream sequence to tip me off to future events. Life doesn't work that way. I still can't shake this evil feeling I've got. Like something's rotting in this state and I can't find the source of the smell. Goodbye, journal. You served me well, even if I didn't exactly stick with the gratitude theme. I suppose I'm glad I met Chase.
I thought about destroying this journal, but I'll leave it here. Maybe he'll find it long after I'm gone. Chase, if you're reading this, you won't find me. We slip between shadows. We make the boogeyman shit his pants. Just know that when you get that spine-tingling sensation late at night, or you wake up in a cold sweat, we're out there putting to death the nightmares that have stalked humanity since the long series of mistakes we call history began. And if you're ever approached by someone wearing tattoos that seem to shimmer and pulse and writhe, run far, far away. You may never know the true meaning of the saying, weep at the wonder, howl at the horror. The One-Hundred-Handed, Lost Souls.